come now to God's Word. This morning we'll be in Psalm 118. We'll read together verses 19 through 29, so I invite you to turn with me in your copy of God's Word or in your pew Bible to Psalm 118, and we'll read together verses 19 through 29. Let's give our attention to this, the reading of God's Word. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Save us, we pray, O Lord. O Lord, we pray, give us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will give thanks to you. You are my God, I will extol you. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Brothers and sisters, this is the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we thank you for your word. Your word, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Your word, which you promise will not return to you void, but will indeed accomplish the purpose for which you've sent it. So, Father, we pray this morning that you would accomplish your purposes in us through the reading and the preaching of your word, that the seed that is sown in weakness would be raised in power and glory. Do this for Jesus' sake, we pray. Amen. Where have all the good men gone, and where are all the gods? Where's the streetwise Hercules to fight the rising odds? Isn't there a white knight upon a fiery steed? Late at night I toss and I turn and I dream of what I need. I need a hero. Those are, of course, the words of the great poet Bonnie Tyler. In her 80s pop anthem, Holding Out for a Hero, perhaps is familiar to you. But there's something in those words that resonates with us, isn't there? As we face the pressures and the struggles of life, as we face an uncertain future, as we face our own failure, our own weakness, our own sin, there's something in each of us that seems to cry out, isn't there somebody who will save me? Isn't there somebody who will rescue me? Isn't there somebody I can hope in? Isn't there somebody who will secure my future? Somebody I can trust in? I need a hero. And we can be tempted, can't we, to look in all sorts of different places for a hero, to place our trust and our hope in all sorts of things to save us. We can place our trust in our loved ones, in our families, in our spouses, in our boyfriend, in our girlfriend, hoping that perhaps their love, their affirmation will hold us secure, that their love will be enough for us, that we should place our hope in them. Certainly in an election year like it is this year, it's easy for us to place our hope in elected officials, to place our hope in whoever's going to be in the White House, that if we can just get this person or that person into the White House, then our future will be secure. Then our lives will prosper, that they're the hero that we need. Or maybe, just maybe, we think that we are the hero that we need. That we don't need anybody else, that we can hope in ourselves. That somehow if we can just do enough or be enough or work hard enough or become self-sufficient enough that we can secure our own lives, that maybe the hero that we need to hope in is ourselves. Well, Psalm 118 this morning, as we come to this passage of Scripture, Psalm 118 has a completely different answer for who the hero is that we're to be looking for as the people of God. Because Psalm 118 is a song about a Messiah, the anointed one, the hero of God's people, the chosen one, the one who would come to save God's people, to secure their lives, to rescue them from sin, the one who would actually answer them when they cried out, "Save us, Lord. Save us. We pray." The psalm was a part of the Israelite psalm book known as the Egyptian Hallel. And Hallel just means praise. The psalm was one of the psalms that the people of Israel would sing during the Passover, during that season where they remembered the way that God had saved them with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, the way he'd rescued them from Egypt. They sung this psalm of praise. Generation after generation, they sang this psalm in praise and remembrance of who God was as their Savior and as their Redeemer. But this psalm, of course, did not just look backwards to what God had done. It also looked forwards. Even as the people of Israel remembered the salvation that God had won for them in the Exodus, they looked forward again to the day when he would save them fully and perfectly and completely by a Messiah, the one who would come to fully save his people from their sin. Throughout the history of God's people, this question has come up again and again and again. Who is our hero? Who is the one who will save us? And time and again, the answers remain the same. God will save us through his Messiah, through his chosen one, through the one he's promised. And of course, this Messiah would be and is Jesus Christ. God himself, God's own son, come to save his people. He, of course, is the one before whom the people of Jerusalem cried out, what we remember on Palm Sunday. The one before whom the people of Jerusalem cried out during the Passover, before he died, the week before he died, as he entered into Jerusalem, they cried out, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Quoting this very psalm. Hosanna, of course, meaning Lord. Lord, save us. And the point is that only Jesus Christ can answer this cry of salvation. See, the hero that we need, that the Savior that we need, it's not some politician in Washington. It's not our friends or our family or our loved ones. It's not even ourselves. The hero that we need, the Savior that we need, is Jesus Christ. And so as we come to this psalm, the answer of this psalm is that Christ alone is the fulfillment of this psalm that was written hundreds of years before his birth. And so as we look at just verses 19 through 29 this morning, we will discover just why we should look to Jesus as the hero and the Savior that we need. And what we find first as we look at verse 19 together is that Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. If we look back at verse 19 with me, it says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord." The scene that we see here that's depicted in this psalm is of a great crowd of people following this mysterious, heroic figure up the steps to the Temple Mount. And as they follow him, they're singing these songs of praise. And finally, the people approach the gate of the temple, the gate that kept the people out of the temple. And the hero, he cries out, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord." And this is significant because not just anybody could open the gates of righteousness. Not just anybody could enter into the sanctuary of the Lord on behalf of the people. In fact, only the righteous one could enter into the gates of righteousness. And that's the problem. See, in the history of God's people, throughout their history, there has been no one righteous enough to enter into God's presence, to enter into his sanctuary, to enter through those gates of righteousness based on their own merits. The priests, the holiest of God's people, could only enter after they'd made atonement, after they'd made sacrifice, after blood had been shed on their behalf, and they carried that blood with them through those gates into the temple. The priests could not walk up to these gates and say, "Be opened." So the question is, who could be good enough? Who could be righteous enough? Who could make a way for God's people back into his presence? Who could open those gates for the people? And of course, we know now that the answer is Jesus Christ, our Messiah, who it says in Hebrews 9:12, he entered once for all into the holy places. Not by the means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. See, friends, the reality of the scriptures is that our sin separates us from God's holy presence. We can't just draw near to him based on our own merits. We can't enter into those gates of righteousness based on our own good works. We cannot draw near to him based on our own goodness. Only Jesus Christ can make that way for us. Only he can open that way for us back to God. And so if perhaps you find yourself from time to time in a place of condemnation or despair, thinking to yourself, how could I possibly be good enough for God? I continue to sin time after time after time. How could I possibly come again into God's holy presence? How could I possibly be acceptable before him? The answer is, you can't be good enough for God. But Jesus Christ, the righteous one, the Messiah, was. He was good enough. And by faith, you can follow Jesus through those gates of righteousness based on his merits, on his goodness, not on your own. Back when we lived in Chicagoland, Allie and I had the privilege of attending a Chicago White Sox game. Her uncle was in town on business, and he invited us to join him in the company suite that they'd reserved. So he sent us the tickets, and we made it through the front gate, and we showed them our first class tickets, and they escorted us away to the secret entrance up to where the box seats were, and we approached these golden elevators. They probably weren't really gold, but they looked like they were golden, and we got in there, and they even smelled expensive. We went up to the second or third floor, and the doors opened to this hallway filled with memorabilia. There's an attendant escorted us from those elevators right to the private box seats, and Allie and I are looking at each other and like, what in the world is this? Where are we? There's no way, obviously, that we could afford to be in this place. There's no way we could enter into this place based on our own merits. That's the way it works for us when we come to God by faith. That there is no way that we can come and enter into God's holy presence. There's no way that we can, by our own reason or strength, our own merit, anything that we can bring, enter into those gates. We can't afford the price of admission. It's way too high for us. But when we trust in Jesus Christ, we're given access back into the Father's presence because he won that way. He won that way for us in his death and resurrection. So why is Christ the hero that we need? First, he is our righteousness. He makes a way back to the Father. And second, he is our cornerstone. Look back at verse 22 with me. It says, "The stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone." You see, as the scene continues that we're following in this psalm, the company now follow the messianic figure through the gates of righteousness, and they begin to recognize him for who he is. They realize that he is the stone that the builders rejected. the one who God accepts but the world rejects. And this is one of the realities that we need to meditate on this Holy Week. As we enter into this time of remembering Christ's death and resurrection, that yes, Jesus is our heroic Messiah, come to save us, but he was not, make no mistake, he was not the kind of hero that the world wanted. He was not the kind of hero that the world would expect him to be. In fact, the Jews of the day, they wanted a political Messiah. They wanted a worldly Messiah. They wanted a Messiah who would come and fix all their circumstances, who would come and drive out the Roman opposition, the Roman occupation, and set them free. They didn't want a suffering Savior. They didn't want a suffering Messiah. So when it became clear that he was not the Messiah that they expected him to be, this very same crowd that we find crying on Palm Sunday, "Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord," the same crowd began to cry just a few days later, "Crucify him. Crucify him." He would be the one that the world rejected. As Isaiah 53 writes of Christ, he was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hid their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. See, this is Christ our Messiah. This stone that the builders rejected, and yet he's become our cornerstone, meaning the one that we fasten ourselves to. He is the rock on which we stand. You see, the point is this psalm is that Jesus Christ is the only person in the entire universe worth betting your life on, worth placing your hope in. This man who was rejected, this man from whom people hid their faces, he is the hero that you are looking for. They might be thinking, how can this be? Why should I place my trust in this man that the world rejected? The one who's despised and rejected by men. How can he be my cornerstone? Why should I place my hope and my trust in him? Well, let's keep reading and we'll find out. Verse 27, it says, "The Lord is God, and he has made his light to shine upon us. Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar." The procession that's depicted in this psalm now follows the heroic figure, the Messiah. They follow him up to the altar itself, the altar of God, the altar where day after day, year after year, century after century, this altar on which sacrifices were made for the sins of the people. This altar that reminded the people of God that from the very beginning of their existence, that the shedding of blood was required for the forgiveness of sins. The shedding of blood was required for sacrifice. It's been that way since the beginning of God's people, from back in the Garden of Eden, where the Lord God himself, he provided the sacrifice of animals. For Adam and Eve, he clothed them in their nakedness. To Abraham and Isaac, where God himself redeemed Isaac back from his own hand, saying, "I will provide the lamb for the sacrifice." To the time of the Exodus, to the Passover, the great event of salvation in the history of God's people, where God commanded his people on the night of Passover, "You take a lamb and you slaughter it, and you take its blood and you put it on the doorposts. And whoever shelters themselves under the blood of the lamb will be saved and rescued from the angel of death." And so as this procession reaches the altar with this messianic figure, this great hero, it's very clear what it means when they say, "Bind the festal sacrifice with cords up to the horns of the altar." It means this is now the time for the sacrifice. The sacrifice of Passover, a sacrifice which would cleanse the people from their sins, which would redeem back their life from the powers of sin and darkness, a sacrifice which would protect them and save them and deliver them from the angel of death itself. But wait, there's something missing in this psalm, isn't there? Where's the lamb for the sacrifice? Where is the lamb for the sacrifice? The people are gathered around the altar with their Messiah, with the rescuer. Now, where is the sacrifice that he's going to offer on their behalf? See, what the people did not understand at this time was that all of the sacrifices of the Old Testament only ever served to point forward and upward to the day when God himself would provide the lamb for the sacrifice. A perfect, sinless lamb, the Lamb of God who would take away the sins of the world, his only Son, Jesus Christ. And so we see our Messiah standing up at the altar, turn as if it were to his people and say, yes, bind the sacrifice. Bind the sacrifice, it's me. I've come not to offer the blood of bulls or of goats. I've come to offer myself as a sacrifice for sins, to absorb the wrath of God on your behalf so that you might be forgiven, so that you might be set free and redeemed by my grace. See, friends, this is why Jesus is the hero that you're looking for. This is why he's the hero that you need. This is why he's the rock on which you can stand. You have no righteousness to bring before a holy God. In fact, you have only your sin to bring before him. And you have no sacrifice to bring before him by which to atone for your sins. All we can do is follow our Messiah by faith. Like the people in this psalm, we follow our Messiah. We ascend the steps up to God's holy presence with him. We walk up to the gates of righteousness with him, acknowledging in our hearts, I could never open these gates on my own. I could never be good enough or do enough to open these gates, but Jesus, I believe that you are. And he makes a way for you by faith. You then journey with him up to the altar of God, the place of his wrath and judgment against your sin, and you acknowledge as you look at that altar, I have nothing to offer here. There's nothing I could offer before a holy God for my sin. Oh, my Savior, could it be that you would give your life for me? Beloved, as we enter into Holy Week, this is what we come to do. We come to follow in the footsteps of our Savior by faith. From Palm Sunday to Easter, we'll follow in the footsteps of our Savior from the hills entering Jerusalem where he was praised with loud hosannas. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, from those hills to the hill of Golgotha, where he was crucified as a sacrifice for sin, to the empty tomb on the third day where he was raised for our justification. So let's all meditate on Christ this week. He is our great hero. He is our Messiah. He is our Savior. He is the rock on which we stand. And let us say with the words of verse 29, oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Let us pray. Oh, Father, we do come to give thanks to you this day, for you are good. Your steadfast love endures forever. Father, you have made a way for us back to you through Jesus Christ, your Son. He's opened to us those gates of righteousness by his own work, by his own righteousness, Lord. And he is the sacrifice that was bound and crucified for us. He He is the rock that we fasten ourselves to. Father, help us. Our hearts so easily turn to the right or to the left. We so easily hope in other heroes and other saviors. Lord, fix our hearts and minds this day and this week on Christ. Let us stand on Him and Him alone. In Jesus' name, amen.